Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Gentlemen, welcome to America's Auto Enthusiast Program. This is Auto World. And now, here's your host, Bob Long.
And welcome to another exciting edition of Auto World. I'm Mike Wallace, speaking to you from the top of Lookout Mountain in wonderful Fort Payne, Alabama, from the color studios of Newstalk 1400 WFPA. Bob Long, your veteran automotive journalist, is still on assignment, and he will be back next week. But for the moment, you have me and Mark Evans, who is a veteran radio talk show host and an SAE certified technician, along my side from his palatial estate in Boise, Idaho. And hello, Mark.
Well, hello, Motor Mike. How you doing? They're back, and I don't know if I couldn't get out of the gate this morning, Mike. They're still making license plates in the background, man. Hey, it's good to be with you. Sharing the cockpit again here on Auto World, AM edition of Auto World with you.
We've got another exciting edition here going on this morning. I hope everybody's having a good day today on this weekend edition. We have guests this morning, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
In fact, it is, I believe he is on the line with it. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide. And you can get him at consumerguide.com. It's Tom Appel. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
I am very well. Good to talk to you again.
I think we've talked before.
We have.
I know Bob has been out traveling the country gathering all the information that he can for the fall. So he let us know yesterday he couldn't get back to Orlando in time. So here we are once again. And he specifically said to talk to you about the daily drive section, I believe it was. Something special you want to talk about?
Yeah, Consumer Guide is broken down into two things these days. There's consumerguide.com, and its heritage goes back to our old print edition of the monthly guide, something we were very proud of. But as you guys well know, things move away from print, and now we're 100% digital. But we also have the CG Daily Drive. That's our blog, and that's where we like to have a little fun, talk about news, talk about new cars that are coming out, things like that.
I noticed the blog here, and there's a couple of things up there. One is the 2015 Land Rover Range Rover HSE. Now,
yeah.
Did you have a chance to take a test drive in that, and what did you think?
Yeah, we had that around the office for about a week, and that's a very interesting vehicle. For people who don't know, about a year ago, that vehicle was redesigned, and one of the things that happened to it, and one of the things that really needed to happen to it, is that it lost a lot of weight. They went with an aluminum-intensive design. The car shed about 800 pounds. Additionally, they went from a standard 5-liter V8 to a supercharged 3-liter V6. The result is a massive improvement in fuel economy with no loss in performance. The thing still feels as big and brawny, as powerful as ever, but in just regular driving, Consumer Guide saw about 18.3 miles per gallon with the vehicle.
And we're just, is this combined or just in town?
That's our average. So we put, I want to say, two editors through that vehicle, so over about 225 miles.
Now, how does this thing ride? I mean, is it ride like a cement mixer, or is it got a decent ride to it?
No, it's incredibly refined, and it's one of those things where the paradox is hard to understand. This is a vehicle that can climb Mount Everest, but yet in town, the ride is incredibly refined. No, it is a quiet, smooth vehicle.
That's one of the things I found about the early Land Rovers, that they were made for like a safari, and they rode like that, and then they became more and more refined. And now they're to the point where they're kind of a daily driver, soccer mom kind of car, but you can attack just about any obstacle with one of these things, can you not?
You can, and I think that that is a legacy. That's something that, Land Rover, Range Rover has to deal with. It's interesting that when Mercedes launched its ML midsize crossover, when Volkswagen launched the Touareg, they launched both of those vehicles with that mix, and they made a big point of demonstrating their off-road prowess. But as the generations have gone past, they've kind of downplayed that, which is not something Land Rover can do. It's really an integral part of its heritage. So they're stuck with having to strike that balance where I think other manufacturers don't really have to do that.
Well, they have softened the look of it, though, quite a bit over time, have they not?
Yeah, considerably. I think that, part of that was the demands of having to, make the vehicle more aerodynamic. And I think just to keep it more modern looking, I think that if although I think the old Range Rover look is beautiful, it looks a little bit old, a little bit heritage.
Well, their main, at least what I see on the street, it seems like that's a soccer mom kind of car. Is that a fair...
I think it is. I think that you'll see a lot of them in use in suburbia, and I think very few of them ever hit the trail.
So styling has a lot to do with a woman's reason for buying something, in addition to safety factors and other things. What impresses you most about it?
I think that getting what we were just talking about is that balance. I have had the opportunity, thanks to Land Rover, Range Rover, giving me the opportunity to take these vehicles off-road, and they're incredibly impressive off-road. They do everything that you would expect them to, and, you know, surviving the apocalypse is important to you. This might be the vehicle you buy for that. But then again, it's incredibly uncomfortable tooling around a parking lot or on the highway, too, and I think that it's that balance that they struck that's so impressive.
Well, how about, you know, they're four-wheel drive, but they're not full-time four-wheel drive, are they? I mean, is it a thing?
Yes, actually, they are. They're always in all-wheel drive, and then there's driver-selectable settings for severe off-road use.
Okay.
Bring on the snow at any time then, huh, Tom?
Exactly.
Do they still have the skid plates on the bottom?
Yeah, there's a fair amount of off-road hardware that's standard.
Okay.
Mike, what do you expect, Mike? You're going to drive that and hit some rocks. Is that what you're telling us, Mike?
Yeah. Well, you see all the commercials. You see him climbing Mount Everest with this thing pulling their living room up the north face of K2. But most people don't use it for that, but at least it's capable of doing that without the... And now they're all aluminum, and it seems like there are manufacturers who are turning to aluminum to save weight. And does the... I'm wondering if they're sacrificing any structural integrity by doing that.
Yeah, and it depends on who you ask. But no, people largely understood that the aluminum was working just fine. Audi is now famous for its aluminum space frame, its ASF system, and it's been on its vehicles for a very long time. The Audi A8 was one of the first vehicles to be 100% aluminum in terms of underbody architecture as well as the body panels. And then we saw that Jaguar, a little bit more quietly, did the same thing with its big car. The XJ, and Audi, or Jaguar now is under the same parent, Tata of India, as his Range Rover. So I think we're going to see that aluminum as a consistent part of that that manufacturer's work now.
Well, I know. Just recently, Ford introduced their all-aluminum F-Series, which surprised me. But from what I understand, from what I've heard about its drivability and its structural integrity, is pretty decent for being all aluminum, where GM now is touting their rolled steel construction to kind of compete with this. So there's a weight savings there, which translates into fuel economy. Am I wrong there anywhere?
No, you're correct. One of the things is that the Ford F-150 still uses a steel chassis. So under the skin, it's still steel. What's aluminum are all the body panels, and Ford claimed that it had saved up to 800 pounds, depending on the model, by going to the aluminum skin. And in terms of drivability, I detected no difference whatsoever. It felt very much like an F-150 to me.
So you still got a good solid frame underneath you. It's just the body panels that are all aluminum.
Right, and then the weight savings are the big benefit, and then there's, of course, the advantage to fuel economy.
Right, right. And now,
you know,
go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, Mike, did you know that Tom's also, I believe, Tom, you were a Chrysler product specialist at one time in your life too, weren't you?
Oh, my gosh, you're digging way back into my history. Yeah, back when I was in college, so, you know, the Stone Age, actually because I was in the mid-80s, I worked for the Chrysler Plymouth New Product Information Center, which was one of six experimental showrooms that were set up around the country. This one would happen to be in Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg, Illinois. And they set up products in the showroom, not for sale, but just for people to walk by and talk about. And they rotated them out on a monthly basis. So I put on an official Chrysler-sanctioned suit and said hello to people as they looked at the Chrysler GTS and the Grand Caravan.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Congratulations. You now own the car of your dreams. Who will you trust, though, to bring your new baby home? Reliable Carriers, the country's largest enclosed auto transport company, will load, ship, and deliver your car anywhere in North America. Your car will be handled with care by our unparalleled staff of professionals. GPS tracking, the nation's largest fleet, 24-hour service, and $5 million of insurance on every load means you can relax knowing your car is in excellent hands. From collector and classic cars to daily drivers, Reliable is the name to trust to get your where it needs to go, safely and on time. Visit ReliableCarriers.com to learn more and request a quote. Reliable Carriers. Vehicles taken seriously.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare? Having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
And now, back to the show with the highest octane, Auto World, and your host, Bob Long.
And
welcome back to another edition of Auto World. I'm Mike Wallace alongside Mark Evans, and we're speaking with Tom Appel of ConsumerGuide.com. You know, Tom, you brought up, in fact, Mark brought up Chrysler. Anything in the Chrysler line that impresses you right now?
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the Chrysler line, and I think that one of the things that Chrysler did most importantly in the past 18 months or so was to launch the 200. Chrysler had been almost absent meaningfully in the midsize sedan market. They had had the old version of the 200 and the Dodge Avenger, and both of those vehicles were really not competitive in that class, and the volume there is just so big. It's the second largest market in the U.S. right now. You know, and the Accord and the Camry were doing so well, and the Nissan Altima, and Chrysler just was absent from that market. But now they've got the 200, which is really a nice vehicle. It shines for ride and handling, for interior appointments, and then finally for drivetrain too. If you get the V6, their Pentastar, 3.0-liter six is really a gem, and it's just to see Chrysler back in a volume segment like that with something that matters.
Well, go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, what does the 200 stand for, Tom? Do you know?
I have no idea.
I was wondering if it was horsepower or torque, or
it's smaller than the 300.
That's a great question, because they've got the 300, which is their large car. They've got the 200, which is their midsize car. And there's some suggestion that they're going to do a 100 based on the Dart, which is a compact car. So it would make sense in that regard. Although things get a little confusing when you add the Fiat 500 to the mix, which is often seen in the same showroom, which is smaller than all three of those vehicles would be.
How are they handling those? Are they selling Fiats in the same dealership or in separate ones?
The Fiat line is handled under a separate franchise, but normally through an extension of that particular dealership. So if you've got a Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, SRT dealership, likely there'll be a Fiat one nearby. But Fiat is looking for, under the franchise agreement, separate showroom space and committed parts and repair.
Did that whole thing surprise you when Fiat got mixed up with Chrysler? Because it did me. I thought they were the last ones that would come forward to, partner up with Chrysler.
Yeah, at the time of the deal, I was very surprised. I think we're all also surprised by how well it's worked out since then. But no, I didn't see that one coming. And Fiat as a partner is interesting, because it was just a few years prior to that hookup that General Motors had broken off relationships with Fiat because things weren't going that well. And in fact, Fiat was in a position where they were either going to demand cash or force that General Motors purchase more of Fiat stock. And that broke. And I think I want to say that relationship was almost acrimonious at the end. So for Fiat to so willingly and easily hook up with Chrysler, big surprise.
And then Fiat had been out of the American market under their Fiat name for, gosh, how many years? It didn't seem like forever that they had been.
Yeah, a couple of decades.
Yeah. And that to see them come back, and to come back with a 500. Now, I had a couple of 500s when I was a kid. And when I saw them come back out, and they had that, the first commercials came out, and the base price was like 20 grand. I'm thinking, oh, my. The first one I bought was like, what, $1,700 brand new? I said, 20 grand, oh, my. Oh. But there you see a lot of them around. It's surprising. I guess the millennials caught on with that design. Is that pretty much where they're going as far as sales are concerned?
I think so, yeah. The 500 wasn't the sales success they had hoped for. They'd initially looked for something like 35,000 sales a year, and they didn't quite do it with the original 500. Then they added the 500L, which was a four-door variant of the vehicle. It actually uses exclusive architecture, the styling very much within the family. And then this year they've launched the 500X, which is more of a crossover and is available with all-wheel drive. And a rather likable vehicle, very spacious inside, but still you have the very small compact outside for parkability and garage ability.
Do they share any platforms with Chrysler?
Do
they share any platforms with Chrysler cars?
That particular platform is, I think, common to the Dart, but I could be wrong on that. But that platform also, under the 500X, is actually shared with the Jeep Renegade, which is Jeep's new subcompact crossover.
Now, that's what I'd heard. They were going to start manufacturing the Jeep in Italy. Is there any truth to that?
That's the Renegade, yeah, and that's built in Italy.
Okay. Now, right now in Toledo, Ohio, is where they were pretty much building all the Jeeps. And I don't know if they're going to...
In Toledo is where they build the Grand Cherokee and the Wrangler.
Okay. Because it's been enabled.
You have the Patriot and the Compass, and those are assembled in Belvedere, Illinois.
Okay.
I like I like the little blue pill commercial that they do to go from two to four door. And that's marketing wise, that was their geniuses.
Gotta laugh every time I see that. That guy chases that pill around, then he gets to the pharmacy and the gate's shut.
It's amazing what a powerful icon the little blue pill is. Everyone knows what that is.
Yeah. You know, to relate that with automobiles,
it's crazy. Yeah, to see this thing start to balloon up into the four-door, from the two-door to the four-door, somebody had a good idea. Very rarely do you see very good advertising anymore. But that, you know, somebody, whoever came up with that idea had a winner.
I don't think consumers understand completely what they're trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the fuel economy of the little two-door? You know, the...
Of the two-door, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think the highway mileage on the Fiat 500 is 38 miles per gallon. That sounds right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's a selling point just in itself. They use a four-cylinder engine in it, I imagine. Because mine had
The Fiat 500 uses Fiat's multi-air, which is a variable valve timing and Atkinson cycle combination. 1.4-liter turbocharged four is the base engine.
Wow. 4-liter, okay. Because mine, I know I had, was a two-cylinder, air-cooled. And it's not for Ohio, not probably the best thing in the world for an air-cooled engine. Like, it's got the gasoline heater in it. Of course, it's at risk of fire.
That two-cylinder, though, always had a rod knocking like this, didn't it?
It did it thick, but it got 51 miles per gallon back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, it only had a 5-gallon tank, so you didn't really need much. And then the gas at 18 cents a gallon, I mean, you know, it didn't cost you anything to run that thing around. Do you see anything? Well, we've got a couple minutes here before we got a break for the bottom now. Are you going to stick around for the second half of it, can you, Tom?
I'd be happy to.
Okay, great.
Yeah, want to find out more about his college days, Mike?
Yes. Yes. I'm always there here for all the folks to hear.
We'll go back to college, Tom. We've got to find out more, a little bit about your what you did in college and why you went into the car side in college.
Ah, well, that's an interesting story.
Oh, there we go.
Before we go to break, I want to ask you about one other thing. You were talking about the in the future car section, the 2019 Ford Ranger. Can you say a few words about that?
Yeah, that's a great story that came out of Detroit, really Dearborn, this week, and that's that Ford is looking to, again, produce the Ford Ranger. For people who are aware, the Ranger was discontinued a year and a half ago, and the Ranger that we had in the U.S. was pretty old. It's the one we've had around forever, but Ford has been building internationally a much more modern Ranger that they chose not to bring to the U.S. at the time for a number of reasons, but now it looks like that car is a go if they can negotiate with the UAW.
Good deal. Well, we'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's time to take a break for the bottom of the hour. Be back with more Auto World right after this on GCN.
Find me somewhere on the road tonight. Seems I always end up driving by.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
My name's Clyde, age 59, and I reside in Florence, South Carolina. The doctors diagnosed me as having clogged arteries. Felt like I was carrying heavy concrete blocks around my feet and legs. I started taking Heart and Body Extract as directed. It is less than 3 weeks, and I'm like a young man again. It's unbelievable that an herbal formula can work so fast and so powerfully.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
atmospheric aluminum, mercury exposure, estrogen toxins from plastics, microwaves from cell phones and smart meters, and low-quality foods all combine to create conditions for the very high incidence of disease in our society. Now more than ever, we all need to be consuming those foods and herbs that epigenetically signal the cells of our body to produce energy, create proteins, and detoxify. When we properly support our bodies, then even in these toxic times, we can promote and achieve excellent health. One World Whey is the first energetically encoded whey protein food derived from Amish pastured cows on the U.S. market. After 3.5 years, we've heard miracles occur for so many people. One World Whey has a track record of promoting detoxification, improvement in elimination, and improvements in energy, skin quality, and elimination of inflammation. One World Whey is formulated to mirror the macronutrient ratios found in mother's milk. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Hey, it's Billy F. Gibbons. It's ZZ Top, and you're listening right here to Auto World.
Welcome back to Auto World. I'm Mike Wallace alongside Mark Evans. Bob Long is on assignment. He'll be back with you next week. We are talking to Bob Appel Consumer Guide, and we were just starting to talk about the Ranger. And, you know, I lost when they started taking the cues from the Japanese on the Ranger. They started putting the slave cylinder in with the throwout bearing on the manual transmission ones. And it made it such a pain in the neck to service those things. I kind of lost my enthusiasm for the Ranger, but I'm glad to see they're bringing it back, because even Chevrolet, they've got the newer version of the S10 is the Cheyenne, I believe, but it's slightly larger than the S10 used to be. But they could use a vehicle in that size class. Would you not agree?
Yeah, what's happened is that it's actually the Colorado, the Chevy Colorado, that's the new vehicle, and that was updated last year, along with its GMC companion, the Canyon. And it seems like there's all sorts of new interest now in the compact and really mid-size, is what they're calling it now, pickup truck market. So you've got the new Chevy, the new GMC. Toyota just updated the Tacoma in a big way with a new big engine and new interior appointments and a new top-line car. So the fact that Ford would come back makes some sense, because there is a little bit of buyer pushback over how large pickups have actually become.
Well, I was surprised at Toyota when they did come out with the Tacoma. It's a full-size pickup truck. My nephew just bought one. I was surprised at how big this thing actually is.
Well, that's the Tundra. Tundra is the full-size Toyota, and then the Tacoma is their traditional compact that sells very, very well for them. It's actually the best-selling car in that segment still.
When you're talking about Ford, do you think they made a mistake in dropping their full-size, the Crown Vic, and or not? You know, the Crown Vic, the Grand Marquis, and the Town Car?
Probably not. The volume there had become almost exclusively commercial, so they had to keep assembly line alive to do that, and Ford had actually moved the assembly line and manufacturing of those vehicles once to accommodate that market, but it was shrinking. And the combined sales of the Ford, the Mercury, and the Lincoln version of that vehicle had shrunk to about 50,000, 60,000 units a year, so moving it again didn't make sense for them. And what Ford has very successfully done is moved its commercial users, primarily law enforcement, to their front-wheel drive products. So you have the Taurus-based Ford Pursuit, and then you have the Explorer-based Pursuit crossover, which are very popular with law enforcement. And in fact, it's the Explorer-based product that's the most popular now, and you've seen a lot of those in police use.
I've seen that, and I was just wondering why Ford waited so long, because Chrysler got ahead of them with that Charger, the Pursuit car they were selling to the police, and then Chevrolet was selling a lot of Impalas to police fleets, and I thought, gee, that's kind of an awfully pedestrian kind of vehicle for a police vehicle. And then when is Ford going to come roaring back into the marketplace to satisfy that need? And then the Taurus came out, and then the Explorer version came out. I just wonder why they waited so long.
Yeah, I think Ford is to be commended less for product and more for sales, because the law enforcement community for a very long time has been adverse to front-wheel drive products for a number of reasons, but one of them had always been the perceived fragility of the front-wheel drive layout up front over curb hopping and things like that. But for whatever reason, Ford was able to sell through that, and the Explorer is very popular. And actually, they call it the Pursuit crossover, or Pursuit utility vehicle, very popular with law enforcement. And yeah, the Charger still does well, and Chevrolet is in the process, or still imports a vehicle from Australia, the PPV, Police Pursuit Vehicle, which is based on the Australian Caprice. But that hasn't had the same sort of sales success here.
Well, you know, as far as the Town Car was concerned, the average age of the ownership of a Town Car was like 61. And it seems like they've thrown most of us guys under the bus for the millennial crowd to draw the younger, like the potential BMW buyer, into the Lincoln marketplace with that line of cars. And now with this new Continental, have you seen it yet? Have you had a chance to take a look at it, the new Continental?
Seen the Continental, yeah, and I think that it's interesting for a number of reasons. It seems as Ford and Ford designers have acquiesced entirely to a very European look for that product, and I think for years now Lincoln has been looking for a Lincoln-specific look, and they keep changing it up so that the average Lincoln customer can't really tell you what Lincoln design cues are. Hopefully the Continental, which is scheduled for production, can mark a sort of a unified look that the whole line can sort of rally around.
Now, the one they've shown, is it just the concept, or is that going to be the production car?
It is the concept. It's my understanding that is very close to the production vehicle.
Now, when are we going to see it? Next year? Or?
Yeah, middle of next year, I believe. I think we're going to see a production version of the car at this round of auto shows that's coming up, probably Detroit or New York, with the production probably to follow later in the year.
Okay.
I see also, Tom, on your daily drive, the Ford Bronco is coming back, huh?
I was going to ask about that. Thank you, Art.
Yeah, the Bronco's a little bit more speculative, but because the Ranger is coming back, a lot of people believe and want to see the Bronco come back. Ford sells a product internationally called the Everest, and it is a body-on-frame, mid-size, traditional SUV, a little bit more capable of handling the rough stuff in certain emerging markets. And unlike the current Explorer that's available in the United States, which is a unit body and a little bit lower to the ground, this would be a full-fledged SUV with some serious towing capacity, and it's based on that same Ranger architecture. So if Ford were to build the Ranger in the United States, they could very easily, at that same assembly facility, build the Bronco. Or so, what we're calling the Bronco. They could very well call it the Everest as they do internationally.
Okay, but that's along the lines of what used to be a Bronco 2 then, correct? For the size F-Series version that was the big monster Bronco.
That's very correct, yeah, because the Bronco 2 was in fact based on the Ranger. So the parallels there exist.
Bronco 2, so I'm telling you. Talk about some repair. Got some pretty good paychecks on the Bronco 2s, you know? I mean, those V6s, no power. 83, 84. But they'd last a long, long time. And then you had the full-size Broncos. I put a few engines in those. Talk about the full couch, Tom, up in the front of the full-size Bronco. The new Bronco looks like, your daily drive here looks like 2020 might be the year, huh?
Yeah, we're thinking that 1 year after the launch of the Ranger is when we might see that.
Okay, kind of looks like hate to say it, a Dodge Durango.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I think that's a very accurate description.
Does that give you any pause, Tom, that these cars tend to look alike anymore? I mean, they don't really have the character that we're used to when we were young.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's a conversation that I find myself in very often. And I think that one of the things that have happened is manufacturers find their hands tied in a number of ways as to how a vehicle looks these days. They're stuck with a lot of hard points in terms of crash testing, aerodynamics, and then passenger space expectations. And I think that those particular hard points really limit how much you can do with exterior design.
And then they hand these designs off. The design guys get a hold of them, and they do all this, and they give it to the engineers and say, okay, guys, now you find a way to stuff everything you need into what we've just done for you. And
yeah.
That's when they got to stop. Look at this. And we got to tear this whole thing apart to get to this little 2-cent piece. It's getting more and more complicated as time goes by.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think one of the things, too, that the design guys do, that when they have a chance to do something that truly is expressive, you find it in very small areas. I mean, the big news now are the headlight assemblies and what people are doing with LEDs and combining the turn signals with the headlights and the marker lights. And I think that's where a lot of design happens.
Well, you know, the guy we need to find is the one who decided to put that plexiglass lens over the bulb instead of using Lexan. He's got to be horsewhipped and out in public where everybody can see him, because everything all goes to fog like overnight, and you wind up, you have to go back to the dealer, and these headlight buckets are like $200 or $300 a hit, and it just seemed, what?
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
When we ran out, we stopped using it.
Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished? We thought everything was fine, and that was not a good thing.
No.
He started stinking. It was awful.
Shedding comes back. Loss of hair from lots of dandruff.
Scratching will return. The shedding will increase.
If I ever took Roy off of Dinovite, he would go back to his hair loss.
Dinovite.com.
859-428-1000.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dinovite,
when I get to about 3/4.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order.
Dinovite.com.
Each and every day she is getting that Dinovite.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dinovite. If it's working, don't quit.
Don't do what I did and run out.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Now, a twice as nice Twin Kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals Twin Kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the Twin Kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of Ionic Silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Do you owe the IRS money? Do you have years of unfiled returns? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. If you are losing sleep over your IRS tax problem, there is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call 800-643-4661 for your free and confidential analysis on ending your tax nightmare. We can help get your life back on track and give you the fresh start you deserve. Our A-plus BBB-rated tax resolution team has over 125 years of combined experience to get you the best deal possible while stopping the IRS dead in their tracks. Call Signature Tax now at 800-643-4661. Call 800-643-4661. Again, that's 800-643-4661. 800-643-4661.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Giving your radio a broadcasted tune-up. This is Auto World and your host, Bob Long.
Well, if I had money, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd go downtown, buy a Mercury or two. I'm crazy about a Mercury. Lord, I'm crazy about a Mercury. I'm gonna buy me a Mercury and cruise it up and down the road.
Welcome back to Auto World. Well, you can't get a Mercury anymore, but I had one. I had a Grand Marquis 88. I wish I'd never sold it. It was a great car. But anyway, I'm Mike Wallace alongside Mark Evans. We're talking to Tom Pell of Consumer Guide. Wanted to ask you about when you got started with the Chrysler in-mall showrooms. How did that go?
Yeah, that was an interesting thing. Chrysler actually came recruiting to local colleges. And at the time, I was a student at Harper College in Palatine, Illinois, which is a local junior college. And Chrysler actually sent a group of people to interview there. They had gotten word out about 2 weeks before they arrived that they were looking for people with an interest in cars that were relatively articulate and then looking for some interesting work. And they interviewed maybe 100 people at Harper College, picked about three people, and put them through a really interesting intense training course, product intensive, and a lot of presentation skills, things like that. It was a very interesting project in that they were looking for no revenue. This was entirely a marketing exercise. But
okay.
It was open for about 2 years when they decided it wasn't worth the money, and it was just a fascinating thing to watch from the inside.
Was that the very first time, Tom, that you got a little taste of the automotive, or did you want to go into automotive before that?
No, I desperately wanted to go into something automotive, and at the time, actually, I was working as a sort of a mechanics assistant and pump jockey at a local service station, which I still regard as the greatest job I ever had. Even though I wasn't making any money, I got to hang around cars and talk to guys that could swear like a sailor and yet pull off a water pump. So those were great days.
What was your first car back then?
My first car was a hand-me-down Pontiac Ventura. 1976 with a Buick 350 and a two-barrel, and then I went on to purchase for myself a 1985 Volkswagen Scirocco, which was a truly wonderful vehicle.
Yellow one?
No, my Scirocco was a dark gray, the regular 8-valve, 90 horsepower, 90 raging horsepower.
So what do you have in the driveway right now? What can you share with our listeners? What are you going to give us next on Consumer Guides?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I finally got my hands on the Volvo XC90. For people who don't know, that's their midsize, really large crossover. And the existing product had been around for so long, people had forgotten about it. But Volvo, now under the stewardship of the Chinese company Geely, finally found the time and the resources to update their large car. So that's outside in my driveway right now. And I'm really liking the product. It makes use of their new T6 turbocharged and supercharged 2-liter four-cylinder engine, which you would think might be a little high strung, but it produces 300 horsepower relatively calmly. It's a really refined drivetrain.
That's what pleases me. That out of that small an engine, they can derive that kind of horsepower. It just I'm stunned.
It's that kind of horsepower, and then that kind of horsepower in a very refined, calm manner is really the impressive thing to me.
Mm-hmm. Pump gas, too. That's the main regular ethanol 85 octane gas, huh, Tom?
Yeah, it's interesting, too, how the proliferation of direct injection has allowed people to use regular gas for these high-output engines. It's impressive and welcome to consumers who don't want to pay for premium.
Yeah, but it's going down now, thank goodness, at least in particularly down here in the south where we're a little closer to the refineries. We're at 207 down here right now, and there's another place not far from here. It's $1.98. So, yeah.
We're all going to start, our families are all going to start getting in the station wagons are going to come back, aren't they? And get into our Sunday family drives, finally.
That's the other thing right now. They're saying that, is what GM just announced the other day, that they're working third shifts because they can't make these Escalades and the Tahoes fast enough because people are buying them up because the price of gas is down so much.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half ago General Motors introduced its redesigned big pickups, and that's the Suburban and Tahoe and the GMC Yukon and Yukon XL and the Escalade, and they've been very successful. And they're very good vehicles. I mean, I completely understand the appeal, especially if you need the space. But they've been selling like hotcakes, which, you know, kudos to GM for building a product like that. But, yeah, if you don't need that car, they're still relatively thirsty compared to other vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Pricey, too, that Escalade. I mean, you're talking, what, $70,000 to get one that's fairly decently laid out?
Yeah, the Escalade now will break $100,000. It's a big deal.
Ooh.
Wow.
Well, you have to. Well, I would.
Mike, maybe you and I should start our own finance company here.
Give you 100-year financing on these things. Almost have to do it to get the payment down low enough. Oh, boy, I just get the shivers even thinking about that.
Well, you know, Mike, I don't know if you know this, but Tom, your blog site has earned you an International Automotive Media gold medal, I understand.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. But yeah, this year our sister publication, Collectible Automobile, and the CG Daily Drive blog did very well, and we're honored to have been recognized for a couple of things that we did.
And is that blog? Can our listeners get in there and blog with you?
The blog is exclusively by our editors, but we welcome comments on any of the blogs. Yeah, we anyone on Facebook is able to comment at the bottom of the blogs, and we just love to see reader comments.
Good or bad, right?
Good or bad, yeah. If it's worth reading, it's worth reading.
Now, we usually say keep the, if you don't have a good feeling about it, just keep it yourself, but that's my way to handle it. Yeah,
that's why I wanted to release that, Mike, so the listeners could really hammer Tom here if they wanted to. Sorry, Tom.
No, I'm sure I've got it coming.
No, but that's the thing that I've always talked about in the shop here and, of course, on the radio is that this is how the car manufacturers learn what we all want is good and bad.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Social media is the strangest form of market research ever in that it's completely free and strangely self-selecting. So, yeah, if you're a manufacturer and you're not watching social media and reading comments on Facebook or attached to the bottom of blogs, you're missing out on incredibly valuable information.
Well, that's the big thing about the transition from print to electronic, is it not? It's more, a lot more interactive, because you couldn't interact with a magazine, but you can now. With when you do a blog and it's Facebook connected, they can comment, like, dislike, and that's, do you find that beneficial?
I do, I think, and there are websites too. I know cars.com, which is a fantastic review website. They allow reader comments as well, and a lot of consumers, you know, the people they trust the least are the manufacturers, and then the people they trust the second least are paid professional auto reviewers. And what they really like is, on top of professional reviews, are the reviews of people who actually own the product. And in a lot of ways, the consumer really benefits from market research like this. Or I shouldn't call it market research, I should call it social media.
Well, that's how, you know, we find out a lot, by just reading what people that actually own, not only cars, but products in general, think about them. And they own them for a while. They're taken in by the marketing, but then the reality of the ownership of them comes out in their responses to these electronic websites, social media. And that's got to benefit to the manufacturer of whatever it is, not only automobiles, but whatever kind of consumer product it is.
Yeah, what was it, 10, 15 years ago when we first started to see this on Amazon.com, where you wouldn't buy a $4.99 paperback until you read everyone's review of it. And then, and now that's expanded to, you know, $100,000 vehicles.
Yeah, and it's surprising. Many of those, there's so many around. I just can't fathom people spending that kind of money on automobiles, but they do, and in droves. And,
yeah, the average transaction price is now $34,000 on a new vehicle. That's the average price. So, yeah, people are still paying a lot of money for cars.
That's about the price my dad paid for his first house.
Yeah. Well, I've always wondered, too, is that that's average is $34,000. It's mostly on probably per monthly payment. Is that, and you know, there's not a lot of people that have that kind of cash. Just walk in and say, hey, here's my money.
Well,
yeah, the bad news is that the average new car loan is, I think, 64 months. So it's comfortably over 5 years now.
But now they're pushing leases, right? I mean, that'll get them cheaper. You don't own anything. You're just basically renting a car for 2 years. But if you have a business, you can write that off. But if you're a private owner, and then you got to watch the mileage. You're there for a while. Volvo, if you went over there 15,000 miles a year, they were hitting you with like $1 a mile. And at that point, you might as well buy it out, you know.
This is a tricky business for the regular customer.
We got a break. It's the end of the hour. It's been fast. I want to thank you for coming on with us this morning. It's been great talking to you, Tom. And I hope we get a chance to do it again. For those of you, we got another hour of Auto World to come. Stay tuned right here on GCN.
It's J.C. Whitney's 100th anniversary. Please join us in celebrating 100 years of everything automotive. Visit jcwhitney.com today to enter the Centennial Sweepstakes. You could win your choice of a custom 2015 Ford F-150 or Jeep Wrangler Rubicon, and a trip to SEMA Ignited in Las Vegas to pick up the keys. Enter today at jcwhitney.com.
Let's say you want to make a do-it-yourself repair on your vehicle. Where do you turn for advice? If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do a job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Haynes now offers online manuals that are formatted for all electronic devices. Rather than chance it on the internet, see the experts at Haynes.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral
neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.